Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In February, my son and his dog moved from Colorado to Tennessee. And when friends and loved ones move with their animals, I tend to view this somewhat differently because of my work than, say, other people who are engaged in other professions. Dan had traveled with Lumpy many times before, and so he knew what motels he could stop at that were animal-friendly, and he didn't even bother looking at the others. He just plotted his course so that he could always find a red roof when he needed one. But moving into a completely new location involves other considerations, too. For example, I'm one of those veterinarians that's concerned about the negative fallout of over-vaccination. And I also know that in some areas of the country, rabies vaccination is more of a political issue than a medical issue. There are some small towns that require rabies vaccination every year, even though in medical terms that's gross over-vaccination of those dogs and cats. So I wanted to be sure that before he aligned with any veterinary clinic, he found out what their vaccination policy was. And speaking of veterinarians, I also told him to check with his friends, see what the word of mouth was, and that one of the criteria would be a veterinarian who had good communication skills, someone that he could tell without feeling uncomfortable that he couldn't do something if he honestly couldn't, and that the veterinarian would be willing to accept that and not take it personally, and instead work with him and his dog to find an option that would fill their needs better. And of course, in terms of moving into a rental home, well, I had heard enough stories from clients who moved into new homes that I pretty much knew the drill. First thing you got to do is check to see whether the previous owners own pets. And if you're bringing a dog or a cat in, you want to make sure you have good flea and tick control on those animals before you turn them loose in that house. If for no other reason than any fleas or ticks from previous animals will preferentially go after your pets, and if they're protected, that's going to make your life a lot easier. I've had clients tell me about going into an apartment or a home that had been vacant for a month, and within five steps of the front doors, their legs and ankles were black with fleas. That's not fun. You know, that takes a lot of the fun out of moving into a new home. Black lights are good for checking for urine stains that weren't properly cleaned up. It's much easier to locate these and properly clean them before you move in than discover their presence when your own dog or cat starts spraying or marking there. That, too, can take the fun out of moving into a new home. In a previous podcast and a previous commentary, I believe, too, I discussed the idea of moving in with another person who also has pets and all of the things that you need to consider before and after. It goes without saying that moving is a stressful time. Establishing and protecting a new territory is as difficult for our dogs and our cats as it is for us. Going into that with the idea that the move will somehow magically make Spot's or Fluff's behavior better, well, it's a nice thought. But just remind yourself before the move that if it seems like you don't have enough time to make those changes to ensure your pet's good behavior, chances are you're not going to have them after you get to the new place. In a situation like my son experienced, moving from Colorado to Tennessee, there could be different bacterial, viral, and other microorganism concerns. It's possible that there could be other wildlife threats, different kinds of poisonous plants, and perhaps different chemicals that are used in agriculture and in other areas. And all of these things are important to know. Sometimes all you need to do is call a local veterinary practitioner and say, hey, I'm new in the area. What do I have to look out for here? Do you folks have lots of porcupines? What about those toads that exude toxins in their skin? Do you have them here? Birds that are carrying certain diseases? And what's the situation with the free-roaming cat population? And what are the predators out there? There aren't too many places in the country now where habitat destruction hasn't caused some wildlife to become acclimated or habituated to the presence of humans. So they come a lot closer. And maybe they don't pose a threat to you or your pets directly, but here again, they might be carrying diseases. And maybe some of these microorganisms may be shed in their stool or their urine. So these are just some of the things to think about as part of your pet preparation before you make a move, and things to do within a short time after you arrive. Like everything else when we're dealing with our animals, prevention always costs less in the long run than treatment.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.